Hey, if you're visiting with us today, I know we have a lot of families here today that are supporting those who got baptized. We also have a lot of visitors, and for you guys online watching who are checking us out, we also have a lot of family, church family that are at home that are, for various reasons and pandemic stuff, can't get out. And so we love you guys too, and if you're here visiting with us today, it's awesome to have you here with us. You are loved, and mi casa es su casa. Y'all hang out, do what you need, ask questions. Anybody with a sticker can point you in the right directions, and it's just an honor to have you here. Last week, we started this series called Change Your World, and it probably was more timely than I ever imagined as I prayed through the summer and kind of planned out the fall. As we look at the world around us now with the pandemic and with the violence all over the world, with floods and earthquakes. You know, the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back for us. The Bible actually even says that only the Father knows, not even the Son. But there is a group of men in the Old Testament that the Bible said they were able to discern the seasons and the times, that we can still know those seasons and times. And the reason that's important is because now more than ever, there are people who need Jesus. There are people out there whose lives are hurting, who are lost, who are hurt, who are wounded, and they need a hospital. And the only difference between us and them is we just got to the hospital before them. We're just a little further along in the same journey that they're taking. Last week we talked about a couple of things. We talked about one that probably some of you maybe not have thought about, but that there is no such thing as private faith. It's not in the Bible. People will say, well, you know, are you a Christian? And they say, well, yeah, I am, but my faith's private. We just kind of keep it to ourselves. That's not in the Bible. And last week I said, I really believe that private faith is dormant faith. I'm not questioning you're going to heaven or not, but the Bible says that our faith is to be out front. We talked about our why. Our why and what we do is because God loves the world and he told us to get out there. Your where is the circle of people around you. We're going to dive into that more today. And your how is just listen. If you just listen, God will open doors for you and put you in the right place. If you were here last week, you remember this scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible, this is out of the Message paraphrase. It says, let me tell you why you're here. You're to be the salt and the seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. That's our job. Our job is to bring out of people what God's put in them, to help them take their one step, to step closer to God. Today I want to continue on, read you the next couple of verses in Matthew 14, or 5, 14 and 16. It said, here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors of the world, that God's not a secret to be kept or something just to be kept private. God is not, we're going public with this, and I thought, what a better day to use this verse. As a public city sits on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket. I'm putting you on a light stand. And then he says, now that. The Bible says he puts us up where we can be seen, not hidden where we can't. He says, now that I put you there on a hilltop, a light stand, shine. And I love this. Keep open house. Be generous with your life. Look at the last part of the verse. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people. That's key for today. Do you know that your life prompts people? For those of you who got baptized today, you will never know if there's somebody watching that watched that and said, I need to get my life. Something's been thumping in their hearts, and you getting baptized was the catalyst they needed, the prompt they needed to take their one step. By opening up to others, you'll prompt them to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. See, when you change, your world changes. When you talk about the good thing God has done, people notice that. The sad thing in life, I think, today as Christians, is that we as Christians spend more time telling people what we're against instead of what God's done for us. Now, what we're against because the Bible says so. But we spend all of our time telling people what they can't do, what they can't do, what they can't do, until they go, well, why bother? We don't bring God to them as something that's freeing. We bring God to them as something that's very binding and restrictive. And that's not what God is and who God is. Instead, tell them about the Bible, a God in the Bible who's clear for them, who is clearly for them, and loves them no matter what. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you look when you go outside, or you've probably seen it on the screens, we have a hashtag we use called One Step. And One Step is simply this, that we believe, no matter where you are, saved or unsaved, saved for 5 minutes or saved for 50 years, the Bible tells us we all have one step to take. And we say it this way, we have one step to take from where we are to where God wants us to be, which is closer to Him, which is one step more like Him. See, the Bible doesn't say that we're to cause people to retreat in fear and condemnation because we tell them, you're just not good enough. You're not living your life right. You can't come to church yet. That's not God and that's not the Bible. But you need to know this. Your life is ordained to make heaven crowded. Did you know that? I think there's a David Crowder song and it's on one of his albums. No matter who you are, if you serve Jesus and you have received Him, for all those people who got baptized today, I want to speak to you. Your life has been ordained for you to take as many people with you to heaven as you can. God's not going to run out of room. He's not going to say, oh, well, it's too many now, let's cut this off. The Bible says that God's not lingering, just waiting for nothing. He's waiting because He wants people to have the opportunity to get saved. I want to show you the story in the Bible, and we're going to be quick this morning since we had the baptism. The story in the Bible, in the New Testament, if you've been around church, you've probably heard it before. It's about this demon-possessed woman that follows the Apostle Paul and Silas around. And they're ministering, they're sharing Jesus, they're going around, and this lady would follow behind them, screaming at them. And in the time, there was business people who used this demon-possessed woman basically to tell people's fortune. So she was a moneymaker for them. And finally, one day, Paul had enough. How many of you know you're walking around doing your thing, and for weeks on end, there's somebody behind you screaming? Eventually, you're going to say, like, this has got to stop. So Paul does what any good Christian does, and he spins around, and he points at her, and basically tells the demons to leave in Jesus' name. The woman, I think, got saved. She's no longer able to help these guys make money. And those guys were upset. So those guys had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. And this is where we'll pick up. They were thrown in jail in Acts 16:23. They were severely beaten. And then they were thrown into the prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Like, these two guys we're putting in, we really don't want them out. And it says in the next verse, so the jailer put them, and I didn't read this, in the inner dungeon. So you imagine back in that day how nasty these places were. They weren't just in the dungeon. They were in the dungeon that's in the dungeon, hidden down and deep in it. And he clamped they were chained to the wall. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Now, let's just stop right there. Now, listen, there's humor in the Bible if you'll look at it. Now, let me ask you, without raising your hand, how many of you have ever been inside anything of modern-day construction that resembles a dungeon? That's jail. It's okay. Like, have you ever been inside one, whether on purpose or visiting, right? Think about this. These guys are in jail. In the nasty, nasty, like they're in the supermax. And they're chained to the wall. And actually what they believe, I was reading a history book, and they said when they did this, now wouldn't you like this job? You think you got a crummy job? That there was a job of a soldier that they would change out every 12 hours. And the soldier would go into the dungeon and then chain himself to one and then chain himself to another. So they weren't going anywhere. So that's the picture. And they're probably black and blue because when they beat you, they didn't just rough you up a little bit. And the Bible says that Paul and Silas were praying and jamming out. and they had, you know, they had 93.7 cranked up, and they were just, or 92.7, whatever, just Christian radio, and they were going for it. And look what it says. And the other prisoners were what? Okay, let's try this again. And the other prisoners were what?
Listening.
Right. See, when you talk, whether you know it or not, people are listening. I've learned this the hard way. Sometimes people hear stuff you don't need them to hear because people are, like my daughter, she'll come up and ask us a question about a conversation we've been having. And, like, you're not supposed to be listening to other people's conversations. She'll, well, I know, but, and this is my youngest, and if she's, don't say anything. I didn't tell you all this, but she's got the answers, and she's pretty much right to our conversation. Like, I'm listening, but I got the answer. I know your problem. Like, well, you're 12. We're not. We didn't ask you. Don't listen to our conversation. So now all these people, the prisoners, are listening to them singing and basically quoting scripture and praying. Look what it says in the next verse. It says, suddenly there's a massive earthquake. The prison shook to its foundations, and all the doors just magically popped open. No magic to it. That's what happens when God shows up. Not only when you're worshiping, let me tell you this, here's a good point. When you're worshiping, when you're stepping forward with God and taking your one step, it affects people around you. See, these prisoners, they were doing nothing but listening, and God opened their doors too. So the Bible goes on to say in the next verse, the jailer woke up, saw that all the doors were wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped. Wouldn't you? You walk in, all the doors pop open, you think, they're gone. Like, call the sheriff, we all quit, we're done. And so the Paul calls out, because the guy drew his sword and was going to kill himself, because he knows, I'm dead, it's over with. The Bible says that Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for the lights, he ran to the dungeon, trembling, and found Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out. Now remember, everyone was listening. But was he listening? Why? Because it says he woke up. The Bible tells us, it says right there, it says he woke up to find the doors open. So he wasn't listening. And then he goes to them when he realized they're still sitting there. Those guys were so into they realized what God was doing. They stayed right there. Then it goes and says in the next verse, Paul and Silas says, listen, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved along with everyone in your household. The story goes on that actually the guy gets saved and Paul and the prison guard takes Paul and Silas home to his family. And it tells us in verse 32, and they shared the word of the Lord with him, and all who lived in his house, this is the jailer, was saved. You see, when you decide to take a step, when you decide and understand that your life is ordained, called, you were created so that somebody else could know Jesus, it affects them. Their lives will be moved, they'll be prompted to do and want the same thing that you're doing. And the Bible says that God gives us opportunities. In Ephesians 5:15-16, it says, make the most of every opportunity. So be careful how you live. Don't be fools, but be like those who are wise. I'm going to give you some things real quick in the next 6 minutes. I did this last week. If you're visiting today, a little bit about me. I don't consider myself the smartest guy in the room. I married the smartest woman in the room. That's how I get through life. So I like to put things, what I call cookies, on the bottom shelf. Anybody knows what that means? That means to uncomplicate it, to put something down where we can all get something and grab something. So I'm going to give you some things today that whether you're here in the room or you're watching online, you can do this today. And they may seem a little obvious, but I'm going to ask you just to kind of open your hearts, open your minds, and listen. And let's let God begin to just bring some of this out for us. The first thing is this. The first one should be obvious, super easy, but it's not. It's what your mama always told you. Mind your... Well, that's a good one. I didn't think about that. That's a good one. That's number two. Mind your P's and Q's. What is that? We tell people it's this. It's your testimony. You have something that nobody can take from you. No matter who talks about you, no matter what they say negative about you, you have the choice to control your testimony. and your story has power. There's somebody sitting next to you now that is going through something you went through years ago, and you have the experience to go, this is what God did for me. He'll do it for you too. It's your testimony. This is why I tell people, life, I know this is hard for some people to believe, and if you fit this category, then listen. Life is not about you. Anybody know somebody that lives that way? Like, the sun comes up in the morning for that one person. We all just get to enjoy it because that one person, life centers around them. You see, my decisions, your decisions, don't affect just you. And it's amplified now, and we're in the age of social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, and all the YouTube shorts. There's 100 different ways you can embarrass yourself, just like that. You can destroy the testimony that God's given you. And here's the thing. It doesn't just affect you. Why? Because people are listening and they're watching. Hey, I saw that guy on stage at Believer's Church on Sunday. Look what he just said. Now, how does that affect next time they come here and I say, I ask something of them, like control your anger, don't be angry, and I'm posting stuff on Facebook telling people how angry I am or how terrible somebody is, right? The Bible says in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most out of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious, attractive, so that you have the right response. Let me just tell you this. I'll make it easy for you. Love is always the right answer. It's never wrong. Even no matter who the worst person in the world and the worst thing they could do to you, love is always the answer. I have people say to me, well, Clint, it's easier for you to say because you know the Bible and you can just quote some scriptures and make it all better. No. Because most of the time, if you come and ask me a difficult question, most of the time, I've learned this over 20-something years of doing this, I don't give you an answer right away. I need to, one, first pray about it, and two, most of the time, I don't know. I've stood in a lot of funerals and a lot of tragic situations and had people ask me why, and my answer to them is, I don't know. But God saved me, He can do it for you. I don't know, but if you have seen me a year ago, how I was a year ago, I'm not perfect now, but I've come a long way. You don't have to have the answer because we know the answer. And it's not a spiritual cop-out to say that to people. I don't know, but it doesn't change what I feel about God. Love is always the answer. The second thing, look for intersections. Your lives, no matter what you think, are not happenstance. Some of you are here today that you watch somebody get baptized and you think, oh, I'm going over there and I'm going to support so-and-so and that's why I'm here today. No, no, no. That may not be the case. God may want to have crossed your life with somebody else's life or crossed your life, brought you here today because something said or done or a song sang today was exactly what you needed and you didn't even know it. See, I think every day we blow right through intersections. You're in line getting gas or getting your coffee in the coffee shop in the mornings or getting your biscuit or whatever you do every day, and you're in line maybe at work or you're going through the check-in door, some of you as you're clocking in for work, and we just assume, wow, it's weird. I passed so-and-so today, and I hadn't seen him in forever. You may have just walked right through an intersection and blown right by it. You see, God puts those into our lives. I call them divine intersections, divine appointments. There are people here, some in this room, some I know in the city. Melanie and I were talking about the other day. We've been here for 21 years now, almost 22 years. And there are some of you that I crossed paths with like year two. I don't think that was just a happenstance. That was the divine connection. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9 that we make our plans. God, this is what I'm going to do. But the Lord says, yeah, that's good, but go this way. I'm glad you want to go that way, but you need to go this way, and let me tell you, follow these steps. Psalm 37 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and I love this, that He delights in every detail of our lives. Every detail. It's not happenstance that somebody ended up behind you in the grocery store who lost everything they had in a house fire the night before, or that are in a bad relationship or don't have the money to pay for their groceries. It's not happenstance. It's an opportunity. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to make the most of every opportunity. It says in 1 Peter 3, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared." Does it say just be prepared to give money? No. Always be prepared to do what? To give an answer. Because people should see in you, hey, there's something different about you. Or even if they don't phrase it that way, they don't know what to, like, I'm going through this. What would you do? They reach out. The Bible says that you have to give them the reason for the hope that you have. And here's our last one today. And this one probably is the hardest. I'll be straight up with you. And it's this. You need to know your story. If you've been here very long, over the last 12 years, 11 years, I say this all the time. You need to know your story. And you need to know that right now, if I called on you and said, come up here right now, tell me your story, you got 30 seconds, go. How many people, honest, and I want you to raise your hands. If you're online, give us a little hand emoji. How many of you right now could, for 30 seconds, come up here and tell me your whole story from the time you were born until you met Jesus and today? How many of you? Like four. We're not batting very high here. You have homework today. And I'm not going to bring you up next week and make you do it. But I want you to go home today. Don't do 30 seconds. I want it in 20 seconds. I want you to be able to tell somebody, give them an answer and give them your story and go, this is why I have hope. This is why. Hi, my name's Clint. I was born in East Tennessee. My family's all from Macon. I grew up in church and I used to hate it, but now I realize how good God blessed me. I went to ETSU, got my business degree, went to ORU and got an overpriced degree where I met my wife. So I had really just got a wife for my ORU degree. I moved here to Sylvania in the middle of nowhere, and somewhere along the line, God said, hey, I think you need to lead these people, and he's given me the grace to do it because I'm really terrible at it. Anybody time that? See, that's not just me talking. That's, I've gone through it. So when I tell people, I know right where I'm intersecting life, and I go, yeah, I was in grad school, and it was terrible, and I struggled, and I thought I was stupid, but God gave me the wisdom to get through it. He did. Well, how did you do that? There's those life intersections. Practice it. I'm not perfect. You don't tell people you're perfect. But look what God's done in my life. You've messed up. Again, I'm going to ask this question. If you don't raise your hand, you're already lying. So just raise your hand. How many of you have messed up? Yeah, all the little hand emojis ought to be flying on like all of us. So don't lie to me and tell me that you messed up. The key is to go, yeah, I've messed up. But God forgave me. And I stood in front of people, stood in front of the world online and said, hey, I'm going public that I believe in Jesus and I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. Ushers, you guys can go ahead and do your thing. Look what the Bible says here, and we'll close with this. And then we're going to sing one more song just to kind of let all this soak in. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul writes, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. That's what baptism demonstrates to us in a physical picture. The old person went down. The old Jamie, the old Davy, the old Brooke went down. And what comes up, the Bible says, identifies me with Christ, that new and perfect body. Look at verse 19. And it says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's how he gave us the opportunity to be with him for eternity and not to be separated forever. It was through Jesus. He said, no longer counting people's sins. What? Does God tally it? Oh, there, Clint just screwed up. One for him. Well, that's like 1,000 for Clint, but just. No, the Bible says he's no longer counting our sins against him for those of us who have Jesus. And it said, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He gave it to us. That's our job. We're to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. We're to walk through those doors when somebody asks you a question or you see somebody that, and it's not just about money, it's not just about giving them food, but it's about your testimony and your story intersecting with theirs, and God using that divine appointment to change lives forever. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? And if you're watching today online, if you're here in the room, we never end the service before we go enjoy food and kind of enjoy the beautiful weather and the rest of our day. Some of you guys are already thinking about bow hunting today. You're already tuning out, so just come back. And I want you to just take a second. We never close the service today, ever, without offering Jesus. For people that can't do the baptism yet because they haven't received Jesus, if that's you this morning, the Bible says it simple. The old in you dies with Christ. The new you comes alive. And the Bible says he no longer counts your sins against you. He pays the bill that you could never pay. And it's this easy. It's saying this. The Bible says that if you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus is the Son of God and he came for me. The Bible says eternity with him is yours. It's simple, just like that. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But it's you maybe saying a simple prayer like this. And you can even repeat this if you want to. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you. Forgive me for messing up. Forgive me for my sins. God, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. And when I mess up, I'm going to repent and get right back and keep going. And God, I'm going to make my faith public so people know what you've done for me. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple. If you prayed that this morning, you can take one of those cards on front of you on your way out. There's a big QR code. You can shoot that code with your camera and just send us a message. We want to send you something next, what your next steps are. And we believe that your next step will be right over there. Let me encourage you, church. Can I have 1 minute? This is free. This is extra. I wish I knew the number, but we have baptized more people this year than we have in the last 10 years combined. Close to it. Maybe 7 or 8 years. See, your story is affecting people. I believe it's just exponential. They did it. I need to do it. They're living that way. I can live that way. Right? And life changes. And I can't tell you how excited I am that God chose me to be a part of such a great team and a great family to see our world change in Scriven County. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would? We're going to sing one more song. I call it, if you're visiting, I call it our settle song. It just kind of lets the word, let God settle in your hearts what we heard today. And then we're going to go enjoy a great day. God, I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you that today, God, we go to change our world, that you use us to do something like never before. Scriven County, Sylvania, our surrounding areas, God, use us to reach out. Use our story. Give us opportunities to change lives forever. And I thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.